Welcome everybody to the 10 minute timeout. We are back with another installment. We are doing things a little bit different this time. My name is Jonell. I hope all you guys know that already. And I'm here with my colleague, Sean Callaghan.
What's going on, Jonell? Thanks for taking the lead on this one.
Yeah, man, I thought we'd do things a little differently. Just switch it up on you guys, you know, keep you on your toes.
That is what's up.
Man, we have so much to talk about.
Yeah, we do.
We have the NBA, so many storylines with Sterling and Silver and Durant. The list goes on and on. This year's NBA season has been crazy. Oh, man. Sean, tell me about the whole story with Sterling.
Okay, so the whole story with Sterling was that his girlfriend, who was half black and half Mexican, released this tape of their conversation in which Sterling made some comments about Magic Johnson. Ooh. Told her, don't bring him to the games.
Basically, don't associate yourself. Or don't not associate, but don't publicly associate yourself with minorities, per se.
That's right. You and I just got done listening to this 10-minute snippet of it. And to be honest, it's a little bit different from how the media is actually covering it. You know, when we were listening to this, I was ready for this full rant of nothing but racist remarks. But when we were listening to it, I heard a lot of different things. And he was saying things like, you know, I admire Magic Johnson. And I'm not fully against black people because obviously he hires black coaches and black players. But I think what he was saying was, I don't want you bringing particular black people to the games because I don't want you being seen with them, or I don't want people thinking that my girlfriend is with somebody else.
And that's a good point. I never really thought about that because this whole thing is strung on racism, you know, sensitive topic to everyone. And for the audio to be misconstrued by so many people, well, I mean, arbitrarily, we believe that there's something more than just racism here.
That's right. The stuff that TMZ took out was that they were just taking out little snippets of it, but they weren't given the full story. And I don't think that Donald Sterling is fully racist. I think he has some racist tendencies. But if you listen to the audio, the full of it, I think it's an argument between a girlfriend and her boyfriend. And he's just saying, I just don't want you bringing black people, or I just don't want you associating yourself with this people during the games. You can bring them in, you can cook them food if you want, but do it privately. Just don't show it off on Instagram.
Because that, in turn, makes Donald Sterling look bad. Not necessarily to a point where he's displaying racist views against black people, but he just doesn't want his girlfriend to be associating with particularly men to make him look bad.
Exactly. And right now, as you know, Adam Silver, he suspended him indefinitely. Actually, he banned him for life. Is that the story right now?
Yes, it is. You know, I applaud Mr. Silver. I completely 100% agree with his decision. I just feel that it's a little soon, you know. I know a lot of the players and the Players Association wanted some type of action to get rid of Donald Sterling, but I really believe that this story has many different ties, like, between the lines, you know?
Right. Donald, he obviously wanted to get rid of him because something like this, the issue of racism, there's no room for it in the NBA, and, you know, the Clippers, they have Doc Rivers, a lot of black people on their team, so I think Adam Silver taking over for David Stern did the right thing by banning him for life, and I think there was some sort of penalty, $1 million.
$2.5 million
penalty on that. So that was the right action to take.
And I just want to reiterate to everyone that we are not trying to defend Donald Sterling in any way. Mm-hmm. We're just like everyone else. We listened to the audio when we had our own opinion about it. So yeah. All right, switching to a brighter note. This year's NBA playoffs has probably been one of the more exciting playoffs we've seen in a while. Four OTs with the Memphis and OKC series, you know, Dallas and San Antonio going three overtimes. Ooh. Man, you can't ask for better sportsmanship than these playoffs.
No, you can't. And you brought up Dallas and San Antonio, man. I thought they were going to go 3-1 back to San Antonio, but San Antonio ended up winning in Dallas, tying the game. Tying the series up. Went back to San Antonio for Game 5, made it 3-2, and Game 6 is next, and this is a must-win.
I think you owe Vince Carter some credit, man. I think you need to mention him, give him a shout-out.
Half man, half amazing, Vince Carter, Vince Sanity, you know, was in the flesh Game 3?
Yeah, Game 3.
Game 3, when Manu Ginobili drove the ball, right? Manu drove in. Made that layup with 1.5 seconds to go. I was like, this game is over. This game is over because that's what Manu does. That's just what he does. All of a sudden, they get the ball. Mavs get the ball at half court. Pass it to, you would never expect, Vince Carter. Throws up a three, wins the game. It was ridiculous. It was cool to see the Mavs celebrate like that. I thought the momentum would keep going to Game 3, but for Vince Carter, props to him because he brought back, his youth by like 10 years.
Yeah, he's 100 years old and he just brought it back 10 years. So he's about 90 right now.
That's right. But man, what about your Warriors, bro? You got Game 6 tonight.
Man, Game 5 in L.A., there was a lot of emotion going on in that building. With the whole Adam Silver decision on Donald Sterling. The Clippers were playing on emotion, and I think that's one of the reasons why they came out with that win. And I'm scared for my Warriors, Curry hasn't been playing that well all series long, and no one has been really stepping up from the bench. And I have some hope that the Warriors take Game 6 in Golden State. And in Game 7, I have to give the edge to the Clippers, being that it's in their home again, and they have everything on their side in terms of fan base and, overall media perspective.
That's crazy. To bring it back to that whole Donald Sterling thing, the Warriors were actually going to boycott that Game 6?
Yeah.
No, Game 5.
Game 5.
If the Clippers were, agreed to do that, right? Wasn't that the decision?
Yeah.
So, on that aspect, I got to give the Warriors some props to actually, that they were going to make a decision that was even bigger than them, to support the Clippers and our culture of racism. So I just got to bring that up because I thought that was kind of powerful.
Very true, very true. All right, moving on. There are a couple more heady storylines to talk about. Where do we start? Where do we start, Sean? Are we going with Indiana? Are we going to talk about Toronto?
Let's talk about Indiana. Let's talk about how sorry Indiana is right now. Indiana is the number one team out of the East, and they are not playing like a number one team. Roy Hibbert has not been
a factor.
He had 0 points in 10 minutes. I don't know, but he's been a non-factor. I'm expecting Paul George to do something great this series, and I don't even hear from him too much. And Atlanta, number 8. Come on, man. Number 8 against Indiana. Indiana, we were all looking forward to them kind of going to the champ maybe this year, but it seems like Atlanta might have their number.
The Pacers need to call Reggie Miller because they can't score at all. I mean, they have so many problems right now with defense, offense, you name it. And I really can't put my finger on it. What's the problem? Is it the chemistry between them? Is there something going on behind the scenes that we don't know about and we're probably going to find out in the offseason? But it's pretty sad. It's probably one of the worst collapses I've seen from an NBA number one seed.
All right, man, let me ask you this. Brooklyn and Toronto, this is a surprise right here. Remember, you and I last time on the podcast, we said that Brooklyn was just going to roll through this team. But obviously, Toronto's coming up. That city's been uplifting that team. And Brooklyn been kind of quiet, shut down.
Well, I got to give a shout out to my boy Kyle Lowry, man. He's been balling, straight balling. I always knew he had it in him. Possibly triple-double every night, but with this Brooklyn team, you have veterans, Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, Joe Johnson. You have players that know how to win. And for Toronto to be actually leading right now, 3-2, it's pretty surprising. You wouldn't have never have thought this would have happened.
Toronto, I think one of the coolest things I've seen while watching Toronto games is just how passionate the fan base is. I mean, they got fans outside. That's how crazy it is. They don't care about getting into the building. They'll chill outside and watch it from big screen TVs. And it was raining one time. And it was an away game and there was fans out there. So Toronto, they got a lot of support. Brooklyn is getting their team is actually criticizing their fans for not being as into the game as the Toronto fans are. That's kind of funny to me.
Well, it is in New York, Brooklyn, just coming up as the second team of New York. The New York Knicks will always be number one in New York. So I just feel like unless they can make it to the championship somehow, which I feel like is very unlikely. They will get past the first round, though. Believe that.
Okay. Did you think Washington was going to beat Chicago in that series?
I mean, I had a feeling. I knew it wasn't going to be this easy going 4-1 on Chicago, but I always had hope in my boy John Wall and Bradley Beal.
John Wall.
Two of the youngest and best point guards, or I'm sorry, backcourts in the NBA right now. It's going to be a challenge for them once they face the Heat, because I'm in the East, I'm just counting everyone out except for the Heat and the Wizards.
I love it. I love watching John Wall actually play to the best of his game. He was always criticized for being on a bad team, but Washington is in the playoffs and he's getting some TV time, and it's cool to see him play. All right, you obviously knew Miami was going to sweep through Charlotte, right?
Yeah, I knew that. We don't even have to mention that. That was a given.
All right, let's bring it back to the West then. Houston-Portland. This is becoming one of my favorite series just because of Damian Lillard and LaMarcus Aldridge. I don't know, man. I didn't expect Portland to come out like this, and I didn't even expect Houston to play this bad, but I'm kind of liking Portland in this series.
Shout out to Oakland. Shout out to Dame Lillard. Oakland native, doing his thing out there in Portland. I think in the previous podcast I said that this series is going to go 7 games, and it's looking like it's going to go 7 games, you know. Portland has been not so much dominant in the first couple of games, but Houston is making a strong comeback. These games are close. I mean, each game could have went either way. Portland just having the upper edge in the last few seconds, and it's going to go 7, and I feel that Portland's going to come out with the win.
Don't sleep on Portland. Don't sleep on LaMarcus Aldridge. Oh, my goodness. He's proven to be one of the best power forwards right now in the playoffs. All right, lastly, Memphis, OKC. I don't know what to say about that because I expect Westbrook and the dominant Durant to just sweep through Memphis, but they
you mean Mr. Unreliable.
Mr. Unreliable, the quote that they gave Durant in the paper today, in the Oklahoma paper today. That fan base is calling him Mr. Unreliable.
Man.
Can you call Durant Mr. Unreliable? Is that fair?
I mean, this man isn't even 27 yet. Let him get to his peak age and start judging him then. But I understand the criticism, you know. He's been in the playoffs for the past few seasons already, and he hasn't been delivering, you know. He's only made it to the finals once, and he lost to Miami, of course. This year, I feel like he doesn't really have that killer instinct that he's had over this season. He's even admitted that Tony Allen has gotten into his head a little bit, which is something that you should never admit to that. But for some reason, he did it, and I'm not really a fan of his comment, but it's 3-2 right now. Memphis is in the lead. He has to play out of his mind for Oklahoma City to win this series. You know, Westbrook is going to do his thing. But in order for OKC to advance, it has to be on Kevin Durant.
I think I agree with you when you said earlier that LeBron got this type of criticism when he was in Miami.
Yeah.
And if Durant wants to put himself among the names of LeBron, he needs to be able to take all these lumps as well when he's not performing in the playoffs.
Very true, very true. If we're going to deem him as a superstar, we have to give him that superstar treatment, just like we gave LeBron.
I agree.
All right, well, that's it. Thank you for listening to another installment of the 10-Minute Timeout.
Yep.
This was another NBA-focused podcast, but I feel that the issues that have been going on in the NBA as of late is very necessary to talk about. So thanks again. My name is Joe Nell, and this is
Sean Callaghan.
Thank you for listening to our podcast, 10-Minute Timeout. Peace.